Yud Ches Shavat, Thursday the 13th of February, Rabbi Eli Birnbaum. Was Yisro present at Mamad Har Sinai?
Anyone who wants Myron McComas, just here, with pleasure, they're free of charge, free to care.
That's great.
I'll put them in the middle over here. Thank you for the introduction.
The one for the rabbi.
Okay, we're finishing 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Okay. We'll be gone.
I've still got to be here at 9 o'clock. That's the point. I've got to know when I can do this. That's at 9 o'clock. Morning, everyone.
Morning.
We hope everyone is well. Thank you for joining us. As mentioned in the introduction, we will be, I think, only scratching the surface in the time we have of this question of, was Yisro at Mamad Har Sinai? And I think, more importantly than that, what are the ramifications, what are the implications of whether or not he was there? Specifically, Legabe, a question of, in this week's parsha, if I could just have a chumash actually, that'd be very useful. The entire perek Yud Ches, the beginning of our parsha, there are immediate ramifications of where, there's a ramifications of where this perek belongs in the Torah, and whether or not we say Ein Mukdam Ma'ucha B'Torah, there's a well-known machlokas, Rashi in the Ramban, we'll see the Ramban very shortly. Ramban's of the opinion, famously, that you only ever say Ein Mukdam Ma'ucha B'Torah, you only ever move things out of chronological order if you are absolutely forced to, otherwise he says don't do it. And we'll see that very shortly. So we begin with the Gemara in Zvachim, Kuftes Zayin Amud Aleph. There's a machlokas there in the Gemara that typically has nothing to do, at least at first, with Yisro and where he was at Mamad Har Sinai. The Gemara there is asking a question of whether there was such a thing as B'nai Noach Hikriv of Shlomim. Did the B'nai Noach offer up Shlomim? And in passing, the Gemara wants to bring a proof from our parasha. Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Yud Beis, it says, Vayikach Yisro Choysem Moshe Oila Uzvachim Leilokim. He brings Oila Uzvachim Leilokim. The Gemara understands that Zvachim there is synonymous, exactly the same thing as Shlomim. That's a discussion for when we have more than half an hour of why they are perhaps the same thing. And the Maskona there of the Gemara is, therefore, Laman Da'ama Yisro Koidem Matan Torah, Kosava Shlomim Mikriv B'nei Noach. If you hold Yisro came before Matan Torah, there does seem to be a proof. There's a raya from our parasha that B'nei Noach were Makriv Shlomim. Now that's one machlokas. And the Gemara is presented as B'nai Rabbi Chiya's sons and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. One opinion says Yisro came before Matan Torah, and the other opinion says he came afterwards. Now the Gemara makes a jump, and perhaps already we'll start noticing why this is a bit of an assumption. We'll see later in the Mizrahi actually addresses this jump, this assumption. The Gemara says Katanoi. It's like another machlokas Tanoim. It's brought in the Mechilta on our parasha, that says, and this is the first Rashi in our parasha as well, Vayishma Yisro, Kohein Midyan, Ma Shmua Shoma Ubo. What's the Shmua? What's the Besoira Tova? What's the news, the revelation that he hears that he decides to join Klal Yisrael? That's the Mechilta's question. The Gemara brings it as a Baraisa. Rabbi Yeshua says, let's follow this carefully. Rabbi Yeshua, the first opinion, says, Milchemes Amalek Shoma Ubo. He hears Milchemes Amalek. Rabbi Loza Hamoidoi Oimet, Matan Torah Shoma Ubo. He heard about Matan Torah and he came to join Klal Yisrael. And finally, Rabbi Elazar says, Kriyas Yamsuf, Shoma Ubo. Three opinions there in the Gemara. The Gemara crucially links this machlokas to the first machlokas. It says it's really the same thing. It's a question of was he or was he not at Mamad Har Sinai, and presents three opinions. We'll make it a little bit more interactive here. The first opinion, start off nice and simple, it's early in the morning. I haven't had my coffee or green tea just yet. First opinion, Rabbi Yeshua says, he heard Milchemes Amalek. Sounds like, Rabbi Yeshua holds, when did he come? Milchemes Amalek, when did he turn up? Before Matan Torah, Lechaira. Milchemes Amalek happens well before Matan Torah. That's the news that Yisro hears that inspires him to come and join Klal Yisrael. Looks like Koidem. That's opinion number one, Rabbi Yeshua. Second opinion, Rabbi Loza Hamodoi says, he heard about Matan Torah and he came to join Klal Yisrael. I mean, that's as clear. It's right there. When did Yisro turn up to join Klal Yisrael? Lach Matan Torah. And finally, Rabbi Eliezer says, Kriyas Yamsuf, Shoma Ubo, hears about Kriyas Yamsuf. Again, quite clear, Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion, when did Yisro turn up? Koide Matan Torah. That's our Gemara, that's our Machlokas. And the way that the Gemara in Zvachim, Kuftes Zayin Amud Aleph sets it up, as I said, is a simple binary choice. Was he or was he not at Maimat Har Sinai? The second source we have is a Tanchuma. It's actually Tanchuma HaYoshon or Tanchuma HaKoidem, depending on which title you give it. If you look in the newer versions, the newer, the Tanchuma HaChodosh, you won't find this. It's a fascinating thing. The Tanchuma says, is of the opinion that Yisroel came Koidem Matan Torah. Then something remarkable happens. Omar HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Bonai Hayom Yishua Bodim Betit Tulevenim, my children were enslaved with mortar, with cement, with bricks. They suffered so much. Meanwhile, Yisroel is sitting back in Midian, at peace, relaxing, not suffering, not going through the Shibud Mitzrayim. Continues the Rabbi Nishleinim, Ubot Lirois Besimchas HaTorah in Bonai. And now he has the audacity to come to Maimat Har Sinai to join in Simchas HaTorah with my children who suffered so much. Concludes the Medrash there in the Tanakhum HaYoshon Lochein by Shalach Moshe Eschoisna Vayelech Loyal Artsai. A remarkable thing. The Tanakhum understands, this was our opening question, that the entire Perek Yud Ches, all of it, from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Chof Zayin, where we read, Vayeshalach Moshe Eschoisna, Moshe sends Yisroel away, Vayelech Loyal Artsai, he goes back to Midian. The Tanakhum says, not only did all of that take place before Matan Torah, Koidem Matan Torah, but that last pasuk of Vayishalach Moshe Eschoisnei was al pi hadibur. The Rabbeinu Shalom turns around to Moshe and says, it's not appropriate for Yisroel to be here because he wasn't in Shibud Mitzrayim. And therefore you must send him home. Erev is an excellent question. There's something about the Erev Rav. In some measure, did they suffer? Perhaps they saw the Nisim and the flowers. It's a fascinating Tanchuma. I do not claim to have any clearer explanation of where it's coming from. It's a fascinating position, though. Now let's have a look. Let's explore Shitas Rashi as a prelude to this. Roiv Mefarshi Rashi are of the opinion that Rashi learns in one way. There is a bit of a confusion. Some Mefarshim and Rashi say either he's not sure himself or he learns a different way. Let's have a look at the evidence in front of us. Source Gimel, source 3. Rashi at the beginning of the parasha says, Vayishma Yisroel, quoting that Mechilta that we've already seen, Mashmo Shomo Bo, what was the Besorah, what's the news, the tidings that he hears? Kriyas Yamsuf, Umulchemes Amolik. Quoting the Mechilta, he heard about Kriyas Yamsuf and Umulchemes Amolik. There are two observations to make on this Rashi. The first one is a statement. The second one is a bit of a question. The statement is, it seems Rashi learns according to which Mandal Omar. When did Yisroel turn up?
Before.
Seems to be before, because he mentions the two opinions that chronologically match that understanding. Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchemes Amalek. They both happened before Matan Torah. That's an observation number one. Observation number two is a question that should immediately jump out at us because we've seen the Gemara in Zvachim that presents this as a Machlokas Tanoim. What's interesting about this Rashi?
He leaves out the middle Shittah.
He leaves out Matan Torah, which could be okay if he holds that Yisroel came before Matan Torah. But it's interesting, the Gemara presents these opinions as mutually exclusive. They don't agree with each other. One is Rabbi Yehoshua, and one is Rabbi Eliezer, and yet Rashi quotes them both together as if there's no Machlokas. An interesting thing. So at the moment, Rashi seems to be of the opinion that Yisroel came before Matan Torah. Let's have a look at a second Rashi in Source Dalet. This is on Pasuk Yud Gimel. After the conversation, Moshe Rabbeinu fills Yisroel in. Al kol ha-tov, al kol ha-talah, shehoitzi Hashem mi-Mitzrayim. He tells him about everything that's happened. And then Yisroel, vayikach Yisroel, as we already said, the Gemara already brought this. He brings the korbanos, and they celebrate, they sit down to eat, they feast. Aaron, v'cholzik nei Yisroel, lech olechem imchose, and Moshe then says Pasuk Yud Gimel, and it was the next day, I think the older translation would say, on the morrow. And it was the next day. We know Moshe sits down, clarifying the people's questions, and then Yisroel steps in and says, this is unsustainable. Navol Tibol, this can't continue. Here's my answer, here's my advice to you. Now Rashi on Vayihi Macharas identifies this day, and I quote, Moitsoi Yoyma Kippurim Hayakach Shonina Besifri. The day after Yom Kippur. Umahu mimocharas, what is this next day, the day after? Lemocharas ridatoi min hahar. The day after Moshe descends Har Sinai, after Matan Torah. This begins, we don't have the time to go into the rest of the diyukim in this Rashi, begins to give the impression, Unlike the first Rashi, the Rashi is actually of the opinion, when did Yisroel turn up? La'achar Matan Torah. Not only did he turn up after Matan Torah, but we know the day he turned up and the moment of the day he turned up. As Moshe Rabbeinu was descending Har Sinai after Maimat Har Sinai, that's when Yisroel is coming towards the Machaneh, Vayetze Likras Eschoisnoi. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, on his way down Har Sinai, goes out to greet his father-in-law. An amazing thing. So Rashi seems to be now of the opinion that Yisroel came after Matan Torah. We can reinforce this with the final source on the first page. Source Hey, short Rashi. It's on Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes tells us, Vayichad Yisroel, Yisroel is chidudin, chidudin, he had goosebumps. He was shiver down his spine. He was overwhelmed with emotion. When he heard, Al kol ha-toiva she'asa Hashem li-Yisrael she'hitzila miyad Mitzrayim. And he celebrates the news that Hashem had saved us from Mitzrayim. And Rashi there says, what does Al kol ha-toiva mean? All the good things. What are all these good things, says Rashi. And again, it's a fascinating and interesting thing. Toivas hamon, the man, v'ha-be'er, be'er Miriam, v'ha-toira. So the conversation between Moshe and Yisroel, the Yisroel then celebrates and rejoices as a result of, what's he rejoicing over? Says Rashi, oh, he's rejoicing over the Mon and the Be'er. And by the way, he's also, it's an amazing thing, it's almost an afterthought. He's rejoicing over the Torah. It seems clear, and this is why most Mefarshim and Rashi follow this approach. It seems Rashi clearly holds, according to the Manda Omar, the Yisroel came, La'acha Matan Torah. For us, there's nothing to talk about. What's Al Kol HaToiva? The Mon, that's happened. The Be'er, that's happened. Torah hasn't happened yet. Rashi says it clearly has already happened. So there's a few interesting things in Rashi. The first is why, when the Gemara says it's a Machloikas Tanoim, Kriyas Yamsuf and Mechemes Amalek, Rashi groups them together as if there is no Machloikas. The second one is how Rashi mentions Kabbalah Satorah as if an afterthought. There's the Be'er, there's the Mon, and there's also this thing called Matan Torah. This new insignificant thing called Torah. We'll come back to this. The Mizrahi. We turn over to the second page. The Mizrahi on this Rashi, the first Rashi on Shmois Yud Ches Aleph, is actually at the bottom of the page because I wasn't organized enough, so I put it in the wrong part of the paper. The Mizrahi says a fascinating thing. In beginning to explain why Rashi jumps from opinion to opinion, and in the end mentions all of them. He says Kriyas Yamsuf, Mechemes Amalek, and the Torah as well later on. Mizrahi says an amazing pshat in the Gemara. It's actually a question on the Gemara. Gemara in Zvachim, that we saw initially, says, the machlokas between, I want to make this clear, the machlokas between B'nai Rebbe Chia and Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi regarding when Yisroel turned up before or after Matan Torah, it then jumps and says, oh, and that's exactly the same as this machlokas in the Mechilta, which is machlokas Tanoim between Rebbe Yeshua, Rebbe Elozar HaMoidoi, and Rebbe Eliezer. The same machlokas, says the Mizrahi, who says? Who says it's the same machlokas? The first machlokas is simply addressing the question of timing. Did he come before or after Matan Torah? What's the second question addressing? It's not asking when he came, it's asking why he came. Ma shmua shoma ubo. What inspired him to get up and go? And in the Girus of the Mechilta it says ubo v'nisgayer. It adds to it. The main focus of that second machloka, says the Mizrahi, is not when he turned up, it's why he came at all. And therefore, says the Mizrahi, explaining Rashi, these opinions, if you're looking just at the timing, they're all in agreement. He came after Matan Torah. What they're looking at is the reason he got up and left his house in the first place. So it's possible to say, says the Mizrahi, and this is why in Rashi they're so interchangeable, it's possible to say that everyone agrees in that Mechilta, he came after Matan Torah. All they're arguing about is what was the main reason he decided to get up and go. That's Shitas Rashi. The Yisroel came la'acha Matan Torah. If we look at the top of page 2, source Vav, the Ramban. Let's start with the questions. The fun part. The questions on la'acha Matan Torah. Some of these questions are obvious, some are not so obvious. Some I have some answers to, some I'm very confused about. The Ramban asks the following question. He begins, the Ramban that I put on the sheets is roughly an eighth of the entire size of the Ramban. It's the beginning of the parashah. It's a long piece. The Ramban spends three paragraphs at first, bringing proofs in favour of the Manda Omar, the opinion that says Yisro came after Matan Torah. And then he stops. And he says, V'im kol zeh, despite all of the above kosherly, I have a problem with this. And his problem is as follows. He says, if it's true that Perek Yud Ches of Shmois is all taking place after Matan Torah, according to that Bandama, why on earth is it not mentioned? And this isn't talking about the Gemara or the Mechilta or the Tanchuma. The Ramban's question is, Behedya, Mefurush, in the Pesukim themselves, where's Matan Torah? In that entire conversation, 13 Pesukim between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yisroel, why at no point is the single greatest event in human history, an event that changed the destiny of humanity forever, that never was and never will be repeated again. Atzohare Salodas, says the Ramban, where is it if this took place after Matan Torah? Ramban is so bothered by this question that he takes all of the proofs that he cited in the first few paragraphs. That's going to be a question I'm going to come to. It's a very, very troubling question as well. It's an excellent question. But Ramban is so bothered by this question that if Matan Torah has happened, we'll repeat the question a bit later on. Why isn't it mentioned anywhere? We focus on the Kol HaTelah, we focus on the Be'er, the Ma'an, where is it? It's the Rabban's Maskona. And it is a unique Maskona. The Abar Benel argues with his actual technical working things out. The Ramban's Maskona is Muslim Zogon, it must be that we follow the Mandama Yisro Kaim, Koidim Matan Torah. Otherwise this makes no sense. That's his Maskona. That's question number one. We turn the page onto the final page, the third page of the sources. Now let's go into some more questions. The Ramban's question, La'anias Daiti, there isn't really a good answer to it. And Rashi, if I can say, Bimchilas Gvoid Rashi, the fact that Rashi puts Matan Torah in on the Posuk Al Kol HaToiva, and puts it in with the Be'er and the Man, that only reinforces and strengthens the Ramban's question. It can't be the greatest event in human history is an afterthought equivalent to the Be'er and the Mon. It's a very strong question. That's the Ramban. So you have Rashi now is of the opinion quite clearly. When did Yisrael come? What does Rashi hold? After Matan Torah. And now quite clearly Shitas Ramban. When did Yisrael turn up?
Before.
And this fits. The Ramban continues to say, and we established this at the beginning in our introductory remarks. Ramban is of the opinion you do not say Ein Muktama Ma'ucha Batoira unless you're absolutely forced to. And the Ramban says the whole of Perek Yud Ches is therefore in the right place. Chronologically, it's Kaseda, it's where it's meant to be. The Ramban's bothered, according to Rashi, the whole thing's out of sync. It's not in the right place, and you have to say Ein Muktama Ma'ucha Batoira. Those are the two main opinions. Here's question number two on Shitas Rashi. Udi Imei, those who hold Mandama, that he came La'acha, after Matan Torah. This is the Daz Zakenim. You may have noticed this, a few may have already clocked that this is a question. When did Rashi say Vayhimim Mocharas is? The day that Yisrael gives his advice, the Sori Alofim, Sori Meir, Sori Chamishim, Sori Asoris, to appoint these judges to take the burden off of Moshe Rabbeinu's shoulders. When is that day? Motzoi Yom Kippur, says the Daz Zakenim. This is interesting, because what did they do the day before, on Yom Kippur itself? The Gemara just quoted it. Vayikach Yisroi Oila Uzvachim, he brings Korbonos, and the Chol Ziknei Yisrael and Aaron sat down, Le'echol Lechem, to have a feast. Says Rashi, says the Medrash, where was Moshe Rabbeinu at this feast? What does Rashi say? Oilei Demeshamesh. Moshe Rabbeinu was Kiviyochol, the waiter. Such was his anova, such was his humility. They're sitting down to eat a feast, says the Daz Zakenim, but it's Yom Kippur. And the Torah has already been given. You can't sit down and eat on Yom Kippur. It's an excellent question. And one that, again, I didn't think, learning through Rashi, I thought, okay, it's the day after Yom Kippur, forgetting that I just learned. He brings oil and zvokim, and they sit down, le'echol lechem, to eat bread. Daz Zakenim, Nibale HaToisvus, he's so bothered by this question that he has to say that no, Mimocharas doesn't mean Mimocharas Mamish, it's not literally the day after, but they spoke and they had their conversation, the Oilers Vokim was on one day, and then this happened on another day entirely. There's a 2 or 3 day gap between the two events. That's the Maskon of the Daz Zakenim, and he effectively has to say, even though we follow the Mandama, that Yisro came after Matan Torah, but there's going to be all sorts of gaps between the events that are described in Perek Yud Ches. That's his Maskon in Rashi.
Yeah.
It's an excellent question. Forgive me for not clarifying. this is also, this is in the lengthy Rashi on the previous page.
I'm not quite sure what it is you're mentioning here.
Matan Torah refers, it would seem.
It was an ongoing process.
Yes, it would seem, and this is what the Rashi on page 2, on page 1 clarifies. Is Rashi's bothered by the question, when did Moshe Rabbeinu have time to sit down by Yeshev Moshe Lishboit Es Ha'am? When did he have time to sit down and deal with the shilas that the people were coming to him with? And Rashi makes a calculation and says, it couldn't possibly be until after Yom Kippur. Because he went up on Shavuos, he went up for the Luchos with Shoinus, he went up for the first Luchos on Shavuos. He was up there 40 days, 40 nights as we know, comes down, the Egel Azov's happened, goes straight back up again. When does he come down again with the second Luchos? On Yom Kippur. So Rashi says it's a very firm calculation. It's hard to argue with. When we talk about Matan Torah here, we mean the Matan Torah that we know now, which is the second Luchos. Does that clarify the question? We're referring to the second Luchos.
It should just mean a series of Dibros.
In Rashi, it's very clear it means the second Luchos. It is a good question. I wondered myself, maybe Yisroel came for the first Matan Torah and then left and came back again after the second one. Again, that there are so many things. If we have more time, we could delve into them a bit more. But it's clear from Rashi that the Matan Torah we're referring to is the one on Yom Kippur, which is the second Luchos. Another answer that's given for this question, and remember the question of Da'as Sekeinim is, if Vayihim Macharas means the day after Yom Kippur, how could they sit down the day before to have a feast? It's a fast day. It's Tzoy Matanis. Second answer is given in the Mizrahi.
Rabbi, I'm sorry, can I just come back to what Charles said?
Yeah.
He's saying that when it talks about the Matan Torah, the Torah is the second Luchos.
That's absolutely clear. That's what Rashi is holding, yeah. It's what Rashi, the Mechilta, the Sifri. I mean, this is earlier than Rashi. It's the Sifri and the Mechilta. The Manda Amma, the opinion that holds, to clarify this, the opinion that holds Yisro came before Matan Torah, holds he came before Shavuos, what we now know as Shavuos, the first Luchos. Lefi Rashi, which is based on the Sifri and the Mechilta, the Manda Amma who says he came after Matan Torah, what is that after Matan Torah? Which Matan Torah is it? Yom Kippur. So there is a gap of months between the two. Correct.
Pashkas Tissa, when he broke the Luchos, and Pashkas Kisissa, when he broke the Luchos. That happened after.
That happened in between. That happens in between the two.
If it's the second one, he couldn't have come down and broken them. If we're saying it's the second Luchos, how does it work that he came down and broke?
Correct. It's not. It's referring to the first Matan Torah. So and the one that Yisro came for was the Luchos that were not broken. I'm sorry that it's so this early in the morning. We shouldn't be this confused and perplexed. It's not healthy for the brain. Let's conclude, and perhaps if we have a few minutes at the end, we'll come back to these questions. They're excellent questions, and again, questions that I'm troubled with myself. The Mizrahi poses another answer, and maybe I should have known this. I did Biblical Hebrew as an A-level. I'm a member of Munks, the Golders Green Base of Medrash, but I didn't know this law in Diktuk. I should be ashamed of myself. Perhaps my membership will be taken away from me. The Mizrahi says, in response to the Da'as Sekeinim, you cannot put a gap of any days between the events of the first day and Vayehi Mimocharas. Why? He says, okay. It's okay if it had said the word machar. He says, machar could mean tomorrow, literally tomorrow, or machar could mean some point in the future. What's his proof? And it will be when your son asks you, machar leimor ma'avoida azayis. We read this in the Haggadah on Leil Pesach. V'gadzol avincha b'yoyim ha'hu. On that day, whenever that day happens to be that your child asks you about Yetzias Mitzrayim, whenever that is at some point in the future, unspecified, unquantified, then you speak to him. The Mizrahi says, machar can mean tomorrow, can mean at some point in the future. Mocharas, which I think might be the infinitive construct, I don't know, but it sounds fancy. Mocharas, says the Mizrahi, means one thing and one thing only, the day after. Kipshutoi, tomorrow, as we say. It means Friday, the day after. Says the Mizrahi, if so, how could they have sat down together with Moshe Rabbeinu himself, the waiter, and being Meshamish them? How could they have sat eating and feasting on Yom Kippur? Do you know what his answer is? We have precedent for this. When Bais Rishon was built, it coincided with, Shlomo HaMelech said, Sukkos, Yom Kippur. And they sat, and they feasted. Says the Mizrahi Kal V'Chaimer, the Simcha of the Beis HaMikdosh was nothing compared to the Simcha of Matan Torah. Kal V'Chaimer, it's okay. Yes, it was Yom Kippur, but it's okay that they sat down to eat and feast. Such was the Simcha they felt on that day. I like that as an answer. To say as an aside, I was puzzled. I never really understood. There is V'Inisim Es Nafshoi Seichem, but the fasting of Yom Kippur is not the fast of Tisha B'Av. It's not a sorrowful, sad, mournful fast. It's, in fact, we say in the Mishnah, there's no Yom Tov, Ein Simcha, there's no Yom Tov like Yom Kippur with the fast. So, okay, maybe there isn't such a contradiction between being happy and not eating. Maybe as Jews we struggle with this concept, but perhaps there isn't such a difference between the two. That's the Mizrahi's approach. And he says Rashi is fine. Mimacharas means the day after Yom Kippur, as we learn. And now the final two questions, and we'll wrap up with this. One has already been mentioned to my right over here. And another one is a question that perhaps leads us into a deeper understanding of this Ein Muktam HaMocha BaTorah and what Perek Yud Ches is doing here at all. Question one, I don't have a good answer to it. I'd appreciate any input. Which is mentioned in the Tosfos in Avodah Zorah as the final source on page 3 there. It's mentioned in Tosfos, it's mentioned in a number of Mefarshim. It's a simple question. And it's one that I admit troubles me greatly. According to the Mandama, the Yisrei turned up La'acha Matan Torah. And as we've now clarified, this means after the second Luchos. There's no another chance. It's happened. It's done. First Luchos done, broken. Second Luchos done, received. According to the Mandama, that he came after Matan Torah. If we have a bit of time, we'll get, yeah.
I'm not sure why you should say the second Luchos is Matan Torah. The second Luchos is just the second Luchos. It's a series of diplos written all over again. Matan Torah was an ongoing process. So you've got Matan Torah as an ongoing process, and a series of diplos that happened once in history, that's it. So,
yes.
The second Luchos is almost irrelevant. They're just a repetition of Moshe receiving what was already been given at Mount Sinai.
It's an excellent question. If you invite me back, it's a question I say with respect I strongly disagree with,
okay.
And it seems clear in a number of Rishonim who discussed this question that there were actually fundamental differences between the first Luchos and the second. There's already, if I can point out, as we know, there are already differences in the wording of the Aseres HaDibrois. That's nothing. Something can't be ignored. That's not accidental.
Yes. For the Seret HaDibros, Matan Torah. Matan Torah is huge, it's enormous.
Yes, it's correct. So there, maybe I'm confusing my terminology. There's Maimat HaSinai, which is Shavuos, and then there's Matan Torah, which is this.
An ongoing process.
An ongoing process that is this. Forgive me if I didn't clarify that terminology. Let's conclude. We have a couple of minutes, and thank you for that clarification. A couple of minutes. It turns out that according to Mandama, that he came after, not Maimat HaSinai, but after Matan Torah, after Yom Kippur, as Rashi says. And I'm troubled by this question. It turns out that Moshe Rabbeinu's own children, Gershom and Eliezer, and his wife Tzipporah, were not at Matan Torah. They weren't at Maimat HaSinai either, because they only turned up after Yom Kippur, months after Shavuos, months after the Egel HaZahav. I have yet to see, I can't say I've done extensive research, I've yet to see a good answer to this question. Gershom and Eliezer were not at the revelation at Mount Sinai. And that troubled me greatly. And yes, we've seen the Tanchuma that seemingly says, an equation that anyone who was not in Shibud Mitzrayim is not allowed to be in Matan Torah, but it bothers me nonetheless. Question two, and with this we finish. This is again in Tosfos in Avodah Zorah, the last source 12, your base. They ask the question, it's the Ramban's question. The Ramban says, according to the Mandama, the Yisra came after Matan Torah, it turns out, and we know on occasion we say, Ein Muktam HaMocha BaTorah, but it usually refers to a couple of psukim here or there. It says Tosfos in the Ramban, it turns out, according to this opinion, the entire Perek Yud Ches is out of place. The whole thing is in the wrong place. From beginning to end, 27 psukim are not where they're meant to be chronologically. Tosfos is bothered by this question. And says an answer, do you know why the Torah brings it earlier than it's meant to be? It should really be down somewhere, Parshas Baalos, it's probably the right place to put it. So why is it here? It says Tosfos, and I quote, Tzorech Loima, Delefisha Sipe Bevias Amole, because we told the story of Amole coming, Sheheira Li Yisrael, who did evil to Klal Yisrael, Rishoina at first, Mesapen Nami Maisa Yisrael, Shehetiv Li Yisrael, Rishoina, we put on the side of that, we juxtapose to that the story of Yisrael, who came for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, may Eitzah Hashuvah Shenosan Lehem, from the Eitzah, the advice that he gives to Moshe, that changes everything. So there's a contrast. Why is this here? Why do we say in Muktam Lucha BaTorah? Why is Perek Yud Ches here when it's meant much later on, according to this Mandama? Says Tosfos, it's a discussion to be had, perhaps when we have a little bit more time. You have two instances straight after Yetzias Mitzrayim of someone from the Ummah Sa'olam, a non-Jew, coming along to impact and affect Klal Yisrael. And the contrast is, whereas Amalek came Lehera to do evil to Klal Yisrael, we contrast that with the story of Yisro, who came Lehetiv to do good to Klal Yisrael. I thought this is it's a fine answer. It's a very interesting answer, but I'd like to develop it a little bit further, and with this we finish. What's really the link between the two stories? It's nice. So one of them was evil, one of them was good, and they both happened to be non-Jewish. Okay, it's nice. It's a good start. Now, near Sturity, I'd like to suggest the following. What exactly was Amalek doing? We know in Parashas Kiseitse at the end, we're going to read it in a few weeks' time, Parashas Zohar. There's a fascinating medrash that says, you know what the situation was like? Klal Yisrael was marching out of Mitzrayim. Ka'ambatia roitachas, like a boiling hot bath. She'ein kol beri of Umma. No one dared to touch this bath. Ad shebor ben Belial zu, until this lawless anarchist, this evildoer came along. The kofad spot, and jumped into the bath. Amalek jumped into the bath. Af al pisha nichve. Even though he knows he's going to be burnt doing it, he does it anyway. V'niskarara lifnei umos ha'olam. And suddenly the people of the world, the umos ha'olam, look at this bath and they think, it can't be as hot as we assumed it was. It must have cooled down. What Amalek introduces into Klal Yisrael, the danger of Amalek, is that question that we just read last week in Parshas B'Shalach. Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im ayin. The idea of suffolk, of doubt, of not knowing where we stand. Is that bath boiling hot or is it actually quite cold? I'm not sure anymore, and therefore my emunah and my bitachon is disintegrating. Yisro turns up. He says to Moshe, Naval Tibol, you carry on like this, the entire people's going to be worn out. It's true in the short term, it's better for them to be patient and to wait to hear Mipi Hashmua, to hear from you yourself with absolute clarity. But while they're walking around with questions in their mind, the more you allow that lack of clarity to fester and ferment and develop, the more suffolk you're bringing into the world, the more doubt. There's a very short road between someone who's bothered by a halakhic question that's left to ferment and fester until eventually it becomes real questions, dilemmas in emunah and betochen, says Yisro to Moshe. If you want to get to Eretz Yisrael, b'sholom, listen to me. Set up these sorim and do away with that lack of clarity. Make sure your people have that clarity and don't fall into the hands of Sofik. I live next to Amalek, he says, and I know how dangerous that ingredient, that poison can be. Thank you for having me. Good Shabbos.